Wife Radio Live.
Hey folks, how you doing? Everything good? I hope so. And if it doesn't seem so, I hope it's small things, not big things. This was an absolutely incredible week for music in New York City. Unbelievable. There was the Golden Fest. 400 musicians playing Balkan music. There was Global Fest. Unbelievable event, which had our friends Miramar, you've heard before on this concert, on this podcast you've heard. Well, you haven't heard Ava Selena yet on our podcast, but she did a great job. Unbelievable night of talent. And one of the groups that did amazingly there, I got to sit down with at a small show the next day. Their name is Group Iberi. And we got to hang out with Buba and learn about Georgian music, which is one of the great musics of the world. I've spent a lot of time with Indian music on this past podcast and various African musics, Afro-Cuban music, and so on. But Georgian music, right there along with them. In fact, it's been declared an intangible something or other by the United Nations. So check out this music. If it's new for you, welcome. Georgian music is an incredible tradition, and we get the inside story. I learned an incredible amount from Buba in this interview. I didn't know that this music comes from the time before Christ. So dig it, and thanks for listening. Peace. You're listening to NYC Radio Live. My name is David Ellenbogen. I'm very excited to be with Buba from Group Iberi, the Iberi Choir, an exciting Georgian group that is on a mini, mini tour of the United States, but they will be back. They had one of the most successful shows at the Global Fest this year, so yeah, welcome. Good to have you, Buba.
Thank you very much for inviting. I'm very happy and very glad to be here and to represent my country with the biggest honor what we have, Georgian traditional singing. It's really, really biggest honor for us.
When you guys perform, you're wearing you're wearing these coats, and you have the daggers, and you have bullets in your pockets. So I'm guessing that this is from most of the material that you've are playing this folk music. What years does it come from? Like, did it develop?
These are black coats. Its name in Georgian is Chocha. It's coming from our history, and our history was very hard always. We always had to defend from all around, because if you look on the map, Georgia is a border of Europe and Asia, and there was always something to do, some war from all around. And this clothing was, it was not Georgian or Caucasian traditional clothing. It was war clothing, what time by time became as traditional. Because every generation of Georgians had to wear it and to be with the daggers, with swords, with guns, and defend the motherland. Now there is in traditional clothing we left only dagger. We removed the sword, what was a bigger one, and the gun, what was on the spine. This only what we have on the breast. This was a bullet, but now it's only decoration. It's not the cigars for sure.
When you guys sing, it has the appearance of like soldiers would sing this kind of music when they were in the field that night. Is that when this music developed, or how did the form kind of develop?
In Georgian traditional music, especially in the singing, we have very diverse themes. From the oldest times, from the ancient times, I can say, we have also the songs from the pagan era, before Christ was, and the songs were performing even into the funerals, in the fields when the people were harvesting, in the feasts, of course. We have dancing songs, we have war songs also, and also Georgians were singing about everything.
Wow, so I didn't realize that it had such ancient roots, that it was from pagan times.
Oh.
the scale of the music is very different than, you know, a piano scale. Do you know where that comes from? Is that the influence of Turkey and these other countries nearby, or how, where does that come from?
It's very unique how sour this was, but the influence we have only on the eastern side of Georgia as eastern influence, and you can notice in our songs that we are using the melisms and the eastern types of singing, where there is a burden, one bass, and the two high voices are improvising with using the melisms like eastern people are using. But from the western part, we have their Turkey, but there is no Turkish influence. I don't know why, but only on the eastern part of Georgia we have eastern influence, not from the western part. We have very specific chanting. Georgia is Orthodox Christian country from the 4th century, the singing style, the chanting style, is also very ancient. And we are using always to sing in minimum in the three voices. It's a polyphonic singing, what means that more than two voices. We have also the songs performing by one man, but it's not very often. Mainly we are using polyphony, always. And we have a lot of regions, and the very interesting thing is that every region have very unique and very divert from other regions polyphony and melodies. It's very diverse, and only from the eastern part there is two main regions. It's called Kakheti and Kartli, and Kakheti is the main winemaking region in Georgia. And as you know, Georgia is the oldest winemaking country in the world. What recognize even French people also for our pride. And there's one very interesting thing, that we have this song name, what is this, Mraval Jamieri, what means wishing you many times. It's like a blessing song, and this kind of Mraval Jamieris, these songs, diverse of course, we have in every region, but only in that regions when we produce wine. When we are not producing wine in mountain regions, there is no Mraval Jamieri.
Seems like I have a sense that drinking and the music go together quite a bit. Is that true?
It's the main line of our life. Because we, about wine drinking, we have some specific rules and specific direction. Because when we have a feast, we call it supra. We have the long tables, and the persons and the people are sitting around it. We have one chief there, what we call tamada. This chief is main toast maker. Before every toast, every drinking, you should to say toast. But he should, this tamada should say toast. And after him, every person who are sitting around this supra, this feast, this table, should to continue this toast by his improvisation. And we are not walking around like like in Europe it is, we are always sitting. Maybe this sitting continue 2 or 3 days in a row. And it's a philosophy of our life that we have a talking about everything, the toast about everything, changing the our every reflections and our minds and our hearts. This is mine.
But the toasting, that's with singing or that's just speaking?
If that chief of this table, this as we call Tamada, have good ears, he can also sing, also say the toast with singing. And after every toast, we have some specific sing songs.
Okay, and
a lot of songs. What you want to choose for this moment, you can simply choose this song and sing.
And can you, like, when you we have our, you know, do re mi fa sol la ti do, do you have the same thing, or is it you have different notes, or you have more than those notes? Because I know sometimes you have some very close harmony.
We have the black keys also. But we are using, I think, this is from the Eastern influence also. We are using singing in quarter tones, not only in half tones. In every region we have, and as I told you that there is very diverse polyphonics and singing melodies, in every region we are using this. Have we their Eastern influence or not? In Eastern regions we are using these quartet tones in singing, and in Western parts, in Western regions also. Mm-hmm. This style of singing makes it more interesting for me. It's my subjective meaning. It's more interesting, I think.
To my ears, it seems so challenging. Another thing I notice is the voices move up together, like people would say in fourths or something like that. So two voices will move parallel. You know what I mean? Like to get, maybe you're not thinking about it like that, but like two voices will be like will move, and then other voices are doing other things.
As I understand your question, this style of singing we have only in Eastern part.
Okay.
Because there are three voices. When the bass line is a burden style, and the two high voices are improvising, but there. Very rare there is a parallel movings, very rare.
Okay.
Because these two high voices, as we call the first voice and the second voice, they are most good improvisers always. And they want, as they want and as they are looking on in this moment at this song, they are singing it not so, I forgot one word. It's this singing is not the same what maybe they sang yesterday.
Yeah, it's more improvised. Yeah.
They're always is improvising, always. For example, when I'm singing the Cajetian Bravos Jamieri, at minimum I have sang it maybe 10,000 times in my life, maybe more. And every time when I'm singing it, it's always different. It's not the same. Because what is moving in your mind, you should to realize it by your mouth there.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, if it's drinking music, it's better to improvise than remember everything.
Yes, I agree. It's a best way to learn Georgian music. Mm. It's a really best way. And I want to add one info that, as I told you, about eastern parts, eastern regions singing, the burden it's towards improvising. In the western part, for example, we have the little region, it's called Guria. They are living very, very smart people and very funny people. And they are using specific singing style, what we called Krimanchuli. It's like a Swiss yodeling, but more complicated version. And in these Gurian songs, the bass is not a burden. Bass is also improvising. And they have, this region have very specific harmony. Only this region. They are living maximum 20,000 people, maybe 30. It's very little part of Georgia. It's a seaside.
Well, my last question, because you guys have a show coming up soon, what do you think people should know about Georgian music that they might not know? What's the important thing that they will help them understand and get into this music?
Yeah, the first one is that Georgian traditional singing, and not only singing, the music also, is coming from very, very ancient times, from the pagan era also. The second is that the UNESCO has recognized Georgian polyphonic music as a
tangible
heritage of mankind, or
something like
humanity
that,
or something like it. I don't remember exactly how it's called. And for every other things, what you want to hear or learn about Georgian traditional singing, and not only this, you should come in Georgia and see it with your own eyes and feel Georgia. It's not only to see or only to hear it. You have to feel with the heart.
Thanks for your time. Thanks for the music.
Thank you very much.
Right. Thanks.